If this is your first Sunday with us, you're in a good place because I'm going to do a little wiki rewind, okay? I'm going to take you back and show you something of what we learned in this brand new series called, say it with me, I'm Not Okay. I know that's not the kind of statement you expect to hear in a church on Sunday morning. We all should say, "Woo, I'm a sunbeam, I'm shining for Jesus. You know, I'm so pretty and I'm so together and I never have an issue in my life." But we've decided that this is the year of being real and honest. We'll add to that sentence just now, but we're all okay to say, "I'm not okay." So here's some of the lessons we've learned. It's okay to be honest. It's okay to be honest. In fact, we're supposed to be honest. So to say, "I'm not okay if I'm not," is okay. To say I'm not okay when I am okay is a lie. So you mustn't always be saying I'm not okay. Secondly, we've learned that we need to be positive. I'm not okay, but I will be. I challenged someone in the car on Friday night coming to youth who said, "I can't do this." I said, "You can't do it now, but you will do it." Okay? So there's that positive thing. Also, we've learned that we need to be proactive. And I know we haven't used this word in this, but as I was thinking about it, I thought, we're kind of saying, "I'm not okay, but I will be as I pick my nose, stand in the rain." No, those don't help a whole lot. But as I admit to myself that I'm not okay, as I speak to my Heavenly Father about this not okayness, as I tell a friend, and we saw Friday night that there's some good friendships in the house, and then as I ask for help, sometimes my friend can't carry my whole burden, and I'm breaking them, so we don't want to drown together. At some point, I'm going to call out to the lifeguard to dive into the water, come and rescue me so the sharks don't bite me. You all know it's not good to be bitten by sharks, because sharks leave ugly marks on your skin, which don't look good when you're in a bathing suit. And the last thing you need to do is focus on the future. Focus on what's ahead. Yes, I'm jumping on an aeroplane this afternoon to travel to Canada. But my life is not going to end on that aeroplane, unless it crashes, of course, which happens frequently, but not that often as car accidents. How many of you have been in a car accident this year? Not anyone really. So we know you're going to make it safe to Canada. But your life doesn't end because there's this horrible transition. As we step back and we look beyond that. I've been dumped, but I step back and I look beyond that. You know what? You weren't worthy of me. I'm going to find someone else. Ta-da! Ba-ba! And I'm moving on. We've also learned that we need to be specific. We're learning that there are some areas of our lives, and this came out of a survey we did here, that we're not okay because of things like family. Sometimes parents do the craziest things. And we also learned that sometimes us kids, when we're kids, do the craziest things too. And together, it leads to war at home. We saw last Sunday and Friday night with Ntabalanga that friendships can make us feel not okay. Sometimes when our friendships go wrong and we're stabbing each other in the back and we then have to wash the knife and then find someone else to stab, and that's not great. It just leaves us feeling, not too great. There were a couple other things that came up in the survey, apart from the biggie two there, things like school. And I thought if we do a whole Sunday morning about school, I wouldn't come. You wouldn't come, but there's some other stuff underneath, like self-image and relationships, loneliness, and other issues that maybe we can go after by saying, "I'm not okay because of me." Okay, and I don't mean because I've done stuff to make you all bad or sad as youth pastor, but somehow when I realize that there could be some stuff in me that causes me to not be okay. And we want to look at some of that this morning. Find someone next to you, only in pairs, and I want you to ask this question. If I could change one thing about myself, what would it be and why? If I could change one thing about myself, what would it be and why would I want to change it? Okay, so make sure you're in pairs. Move around if you're not in a pair, and there you go. Not a few people are doing work on themselves these days. Is it just the ladies? Heck no. Those six packs that you see, sometimes they're from the gym, sometimes they're from cosmetic surgery. We're having nose jobs, getting our ears pinned back, we're getting veneers. I want all my teeth out. I want to put veneers in so I look really good. So we're fixing all that. We're getting our hair done, hair transplants, implants. I'm balding, Imtan R. We're going to get our hair done. I'm going to lift my forehead. I'm going to get my nose kind of strained. My nose is a bit skew. You know, my chin, I think I'm going to get implants so I can look more like solid and stuff. What about my eyelids? It just goes on and on and on, and it probably goes down even to other regions of the body that we won't even go near today. Our knees and our ankles and our feet and our big toes and penis enlargements. I mean, like, what are we doing? Honestly, what are we doing? There's a beautiful woman who feels she's not beautiful enough, so she has all this work done, and she gets even more beautiful. What do you see when you look at yourself in the mirror? It's a rhetorical question. You're not supposed to answer it. So when you go, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? What you don't want the mirror to say is, not you, but James. I hate it when my mirror does that to me because I feel very, very put out. But I wonder if what you see is negative. I wonder if what you see is not actually what's in the mirror, but it's a projection onto that mirror. Or maybe it's positive. Or maybe it's like, man, I'm the man. I'm together. You know, I might be the skinny dude, but I am this major bodybuilder, weightlifter dude. I think some of you might have thought this year, you know what? My life sucks. My life sucks. It's going nowhere. It's like, I'm stuck in this place. I don't want to live in this place. I'm in Joburg. And what's the big thing about Joburg? Mine dumps. Piles of sand. I want to be a cool person and live in Cape Town. Some of us might have thought, you know, my life is just, it's pathetic. It's pathetic. It's really not going anywhere. And I'm sure on not one occasion we've thought, you know what? I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not fit enough. I'm not quick enough. I'm not bright enough. I'm not kind enough. I'm not patient enough. I'm not talented enough. I can't win, you know, American Idol or Benoni Idol even. And we're always measuring up. It's like there's this standard that we're trying to measure ourselves up against. Maybe it's a sibling, an older brother or a sister, or maybe it's my dad just saying, I want you to be the best accountant. I'm like, Dad, I don't like figures. I want lots of figures when I get my salary at the end of the month, but I don't want to be the one working out how that gets divided and how much tax to pay. And you know what? I don't measure up, and I'm always looking up. And you know, I just feel like a failure. I failed last term, and so, I don't know. That race, you know, I didn't come first. And maybe, I'm not sure you've ever said this, but I hate myself and I want to die. Nirvana is a band that sang that a few years ago. I just hate myself. And I want to die. What will get us to that point of saying, you know what? I love myself and I want to live. But I'll slow down. Can I say I love myself? That sounds like something we were talking about Friday night, narcissism. Some beautiful guy who wasn't allowed to look at himself in any mirror, and he finally looked at himself in the water, and narcissism. But is it okay? I don't know. We have to figure that out. But one day, this is what I do know, a teacher of the law, so a lawyer, not Matthew McConaughey, but another lawyer, came up to someone and asked him, what is the greatest commandment? All these commands in these law books, these statutories and laws. And this person in the high court, Jesus was his name. He was from South America. He said, you need to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. So that's the greatest commandment. You would have expected him to stop there. But he took a breath, drank some coffee, and said, love your neighbor, cheaters, gossipers, the arrogant ones, the liars, the ex-girlfriend, the terrorist, the high school drunks, the addicts, the friends next door who borrowed Guitar Hero and has yet to give it back. Thieves. Angry driver. I won't use the word taxi driver because they're not only angry ones. That person who has to come fetch the knife that's embedded in my back. My fourth grade teacher who gave me my first F. Bullies, ex-boyfriend, the phony. The girl who spreads that rumor about you through text message. Haters. Jesus said, love your neighbor. He didn't say love that nice neighbor, Mr. and Mrs. Jones, or Mr. and Mrs. Dlamini, who live next door, who are really nice. But you know what? He then took another sip of coffee, and he said, as you love yourself. Now stop for a moment. This is Jesus. Jesus didn't make many mistakes in his life. He didn't say many things that were wrong. In fact, most of us are yet to find one thing that he said that was wrong. Now, I can't say what's going to happen when some aliens arrive in a billion years' time and find maybe something that was, maybe that fig tree was a figolatus tree and not the original fig tree. I don't know. But so far, no one's found anything wrong. So Jesus says this. He says, I need to love my God. I need to love my neighbor. I need to love myself. And it seems possible that Jesus was saying, unless you love yourself, you cannot love your neighbor, you cannot love your God. John says that. How can you say you love God if you don't love your brother who you have seen, and how can you then love God who you haven't seen? It looks like there's a hierarchy. If I can't love myself, let's face it, if I don't love myself, probably no one else is going to love me. Could that be true? If I hate myself, I'm going to be a very uncomfortable person to be around, am I not? Because I'm probably going to be dropping bombs on you. And you're not going to like, you're not like, oh, Mark, that's so cool, you dropped a bomb on my head today. You know what I mean? You like slash me, you like, you diss me. Oh, that's so just so cool. If I don't love myself, I can't really love my neighbor. And then it's going to be really difficult to love God. And how does God enable me to love myself? What are the steps to being okay with me? Because if I'm not okay with me, chances are I'm double not going to be okay with family, with friendships, with school, with my abilities and anything else. So what are the steps to being okay with me? And what is step number one? No. We're going to go a different route today just to surprise you. So don't forget about those steps. Though that's the process anytime. But I want to talk today about some specific stuff that we can do, and it'll be A, B, C, D, because I need something to remember it by. Okay, so number one, accept yourself. Easy, done, ticked. Hold on, Targa. Not so easy to accept yourself. I saw this T-shirt this week, and I thought, really cool. I think it looks a bit geeky. But if I zoom in, it says, I know I'm special because God don't make no junk. Now, if God made me, I'm not sure I should look up to God and say like, yo, dude, big guy in the sky, you made junk. God's like, what? Do you want me to come down there? You know what I mean? Now, there's two people you don't want to come down there. It's the bully at school and it's God. Because if he comes down there, you get bumped. God is saying, I made you. And you are fearlessly and wonderful made. And so the appropriate response is, God made me, and I'm incredible. Why? Because God don't make no junk. In fact, when God created me, he was showing off. He was doing his greatest coup de grace. I don't know what a coup de grace is, but it's like really awesome. God has come down, and on the sixth day, he goes, ta-da, monkeys, chimpanzees, elephants, giraffes, that was cool. Grass, seeds, birds, that was very cool. But now, ta-da, drum roll please everybody, we are now going to have a very special thing happening. Male and female, he created them. And for the first time in creation, God sits back, because God sits. You can't rule for eternity without sitting. Imagine your legs. God sits and says, this is not good, doesn't he? But this is very good. Very good. Monkeys are good. Bananas are good. Milkshakes. Okay, I'll leave that one out in case it messes with my analogy. But human cans are what? Very good. And a human drinking a milkshake is very, very good. So when God creates us, he's actually showing to the world something of himself through us. So stop hating your body. Stop hating your abilities. Stop hating your brain. Stop hating anything about yourself. Why? Because God made it. God made it. Isn't that the cutest little boy ever? Huh? Cutest little boy. He released quite an amazing album called Thriller. I don't know how many of you saw that album. That was really awesome. I think he looks pretty cool. Now, I'm not generally attracted to the male persuasion, but I think that's a good-looking guy, don't you think? Now, come on. I mean, how many of you guys think that's fairly good-looking? Okay, who thinks that's ugly? No. Because everyone likes different things. That's important. Otherwise, no one would like me if everyone liked something different. But he became something, and what I'm not doing today is I'm not dissing this incredible genius, this musical giant that influenced probably every musician today. But from that to that, I'm going to suggest that there was something innate in this person, in Michael, where he did not accept what he was. And I don't know how much this pursuit of some perfection, some people say that he was trying to pattern his face after some famous woman that he was very close to. And some of you might know who it was. And which is not really normal for a guy to do, I give it to you. But I want to suggest that nobody is perfect. And there's a bit of a play on words there, that nobody is perfect in the sense of, well, there's actually a blueprint, and if you fit that, then you're perfect. Because I don't know how much you've traveled around the world, but we're quite unique and different as species. If you've ever visited maybe, say, as far east as Auckland in New Zealand, and if you've seen the diversity of peoples there, Maoris, other people that are settlers there, maybe you've moved a little bit, you hopped on a plane, you've landed in Sydney, and you've gotten out of the cities, and you've seen some Aboriginal developments, and you've seen again the uniqueness of people, both from all over the world, and people that came from maybe the Fijian islands earlier. And maybe as you've gone into Europe, and you've been in the Czech Republic, and you think, wow, gee, they're so different to those people, and maybe you've gone out into the UK, it's like, whoa, why are you guys so white? You know, it's like, well, we don't have the sun here. Oh, okay, that makes sense. And as you've moved across into Canada, then you can see Lolu, he's Canadian. And then as you move even further across, you get the Eskimos. Now, if we had a beauty contest with one person from every group, and we keep going across to Hawaii, I guess, it's really hard to judge, isn't it? Because there isn't one stereotype. There's not one standard. And again, I guess the challenge is to accept ourselves as God has made us. What do you do if you're born with some handicaps and you don't have everything perfect? Well, watch this. Born without arms and legs, could we get to accept ourselves before we're old? And we have no option. Accept yourself. I want to suggest, secondly, this morning that we need to be ourselves. Be yourself. Be yourself. Don't try to be someone else. I'm sure maybe to win a competition, kill that front lights there on the wall. Maybe to win a competition, you want to dress up and be Michael for a day and dance like him. There's nothing wrong with that in a talent show. But you were born an original. Don't die a copy. You were born an original. There's never been two babies that are the same. Even twins. You ask a parent, can you tell them apart? Oh, yeah, big time. Parents don't have a problem. Born an original, don't die a copy. And that means we don't compare ourselves with anyone in the world. Otherwise, we tend to shrink. And you're insulting yourself if you compare yourself. If I want to be like Joe Smith, I'm insulting myself because I'm unique. I'm made in the image of God for some purpose. Be yourself. Be yourself. Be who God has made you to be. I want to suggest C. What was the A one again? Accept yourself. The B was be yourself. Gee, that was clever. C, correct yourself. Do you know how we say stuff in our head all the time? There's what's psychologists call self-talk. I say stuff in my mind. I say I'm ugly. There's no hope. I'm stuck. I'm a failure. I'm useless. Could you imagine if we turned those around? Can you see what it's done to her face? Look at her face. Because she's saying, I'm chosen. I have hope. I'm set apart. I am the Lord's. You mess with me, you mess with my dad. Don't make me bring my dad down because he's huge. He's holding this world in his hand. And he might just drop it on your head. I am my father's. You know, that's what we need to catch ourselves. Starting sentences with things like, I can't. I can't do that. Maybe I can't do it yet, but you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm not yet able to get an A, but I'm going to work at it. I suck at. Suck at soccer. Suck at athletics. Or I suck at frisbee. Well, maybe you do, but either find something else or say, you know what? I can do a defense. I may not be the guy that hits the hoops, but I can do something. Stop yourself when you say things like, I hate something. And I don't know if you noticed, but it happens all around us. This weekend, I've had an opportunity on a few times to say, no, don't say that. Don't say I hate that. Don't say I'll never. I'll never travel to America. I'll never travel out of South Africa. I used to say that when I was growing up until someone taught me to say, no, don't say that. And I have two passports, not one. I have so many visas and stamps from all the countries I've been to. I don't know if it's 59 countries or something. I'm tired of traveling. I don't want to travel anymore, actually, because I'm almost like feel like I'm done traveling. Only 5 times in Nigeria. But each time was like, wow. And yet, if I kept that lid on myself and said, I'm a South African, I'm a white South African, we're the pariah of the world, we can't go anywhere. I looked at his videos, old Nick Vujicic is his name, Nick Vujicic from Australia. And he's got little video clips from just about every country in the world. Somehow, with his little chicken drumstick foot, he has traveled everywhere. And Jonathan Pardee told me this morning that he's seen him in South Africa. Someone else said, who's seen him in South Africa? Caitlin also said, and Keenan has seen him. This guy gets around. Don't ever watch yourself. Are you your own best friend or your own worst enemy? It depends on how you talk to yourself. My enemy, I diss my enemy. I slay him. I undermine him. I shouldn't, but maybe that's what I do. If I do that to myself, it's like I'm just taking, you know, taking a hammer and like smacking it on my head. Most of us don't do that, not regular people. Even Greenside High scholars don't do that on a normal day. Here's what I want to say. Maybe I should say this every day. I can do, say it with me, some things, a few things through Christ who tries by all means to strengthen me. Okay, say it one more time. Oh, hold on. Let me just put my glasses on. I know that's what it said. Oh, let's try it together now. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How many things? Through who? Who does what? I found a few Nike ads that I thought were quite cool. Cool, but we love Nike. I can. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I am a workmanship. I am like the product of this workplace, this workbench. And God has designed something really unique, and he's given me something unique to do. I want you to pick one of those. This dude is just overwhelmed. No way. Alive, set free, saved, loved, blessed, secure, accepted, confident, fruitful. Pick one for yourself. And be and live it. And pick them all if you want. Take them all. I don't care. Grab them all. Stuff your pockets full of them. Feed on them. Snack on them all week. Take 2 lunch boxes to school this time with those in them. Take them all. Because that's who you are. That's who you are. Finally, this might sound counter to what I've been saying so far. Develop yourself. Discover what you're good at. Aha. What are you wired for? How has God made me? I don't think God's made me to throw basketballs into hoops. And that's okay. Others do that really well. Pepsi and a fancy are great at that. They've got that market covered. But I can find what I can do already, and I can get better at that. I don't need to look at everything James can do and try and do that as well, if not better. because I'm not wired like him. Don't listen to Homer Simpson, who says trying is the first step to failure. Trying is the first step to failure. Rather, listen to someone else who's got a lot to say about failure. This will blow your brains. Kill that.
I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted to take the game-winning shot and missed. I've failed over and over and over again in my life. And that is why I succeed.
How many shots has he missed? 29,000. I needed to watch that again. I'm going to play that one more time. Doesn't it take your breath away? I thought this was like a great basketball player. He's a joke. 29,000 times he's thrown the ball at that little hoop. How hard is it? You do this every day. No, but that's why he succeeds. Your failures don't define you. Your failures don't limit you. Your failures are just a stepping point. They can't hold you back from achieving all that God's planned for you. You can stand on a failure and get up higher and break free. I want to show you another clip from a small guy who's got a lot to share. Awesome, man. Failure is nothing. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Serenity poem. God grant me or give me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change and courage to change the things that I can and the wisdom to know the difference. To know what I should change, to know what I need to live with, and the wisdom to know the difference. I think this kind of captures our series nicely. I'm not quite sure who wrote it, but it goes like this. I am me. In all the world, there's no one exactly like me. Everything that comes out of me is authentically mine because I alone choose it. I own everything about me, my body, my feelings, my mouth, my voice, all my actions, whether they be to others or to myself. I own my fantasies, my dreams, my hopes, my fears. I own my triumphs and successes, all my failures and mistakes because I own all of me. I can become intimately acquainted with me. And by so doing, I can love me and my friends with all my parts and be friendly with all my parts. I know there are aspects about myself that puzzle me and other aspects that I do not know. But as long as I am friendly and loving to myself, I can courageously and hopefully look for solutions to the puzzles and find ways to find out more about me. However I look and sound, whatever I say and do, and whatever I think and feel at a given moment in time is authentically me. If later some parts of how I looked, sounded, thought, and felt turned out to be unfitting, I can discard that which is unfitting, keep the rest, and invent something new for that which I discarded. And I can see, hear, feel, think, say, and do. I have the tools to survive, to be close to others, to be productive, to make sense and order out of the world of people and things outside of me. I own me, and therefore I can engineer me. I am me. And I am okay. Even when I'm not okay, I will be okay. And maybe even when I'm not okay, I actually am okay. So here's what we challenge you. Be a hero and do some good. All of us can do something positive and good. We can take the ability we have and do something. If Mrs. Obama can do some good, then sure as heck you and I can do some good. She doesn't have to. We need to be a hero and save a life. A friend might need you. Caitlin, I sent you that link last night so you can share it with your friend. Remember that video that we used a while ago, that hero song by Superchicks? Maybe you want to share it around, and it's on our Facebook site. But do something. Be the hero. This week, someone is going to be struggling with self-esteem, and you're empowered to ABCD them. I think it stands for accept yourself. Be yourself, correct yourself, and develop yourself. Then be a hero and share your faith. If you've come to know Jesus in a unique way, then go out and reach someone else. It's encounter, connect, grow, reach. And that's where we're going in the coming weeks with our Red Series. Whatever that's going to be, it's big and hush-hush all over this church and everyone's wearing red. It's reach. It's red. It's going to be awesome right in this place week to week. But before we get there Sunday, you've got to be here Friday, because today we've spoken about ourselves. But you need time to process this. How many of you were here Friday, and for whom did Friday touch? The good news, if you weren't there, you can download it already. It was uploaded yesterday, both Emta's PowerPoint and his incredible audio. It was mostly your speaking. I edited everything he said out. So come on Friday night, and we'll take this further, and we'll look at ourselves and see what we can do with that and go a bit deeper. I want to pray as we close. Father, if we're honest, there are parts of us that we struggle with. There's parts that we're struggling to accept. And Lord, maybe rightly so, because there are some areas in our life that we want to develop and improve in. But Lord, in some areas, we're comparing ourselves to the wrong standard. We're living up to an image that, Lord, isn't for us, that's not attainable for us. And Lord, we want to have serenity, to know what we should change and what we shouldn't change. Courage to change what needs to be changed, and wisdom to know the difference. And so God, we pray that we would become more and more authentically ourselves. And Lord, if I was born unique, I pray that I won't just die a copy of everyone else. So God, thank you. Thank you that it's okay to be not okay. Thank you too that it's okay to say that and to know that we will be as we pursue who you've called us to be. We pray, Lord, that this week, Lord, you would draw near to us in those areas where we find ourselves saying things that are harmful, and we would move away from the negative and embrace the positive because of who you are. We are more than conquerors in you. We can do all things in you. Lord, you have given us all we need for life and godliness. We are your workmanship. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And Lord, if we can allow these things to be our mantras in our minds, the things that we say, and not things like, I hate myself. Or I suck. Help us to rise above, Lord God, and be all that you've made us to be. In the awesome name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.